So, Jean-Francois, a couple of stories in the news, just on our news right now, as a matter of fact. The federal government introducing something they call the Renters' Rights Bill to help the housing crisis, specifically to help tenants as well. Yet Quebec has already reacted. The CAQ says it will not implement those measures, saying that the solution to the housing crisis apparently here is reducing immigration. What's your take on that?
Well, it's clear that there are two arguments here. The first is that housing is primarily a provincial matter, and we just went through a debate on how much information we should have about prior rents. I mean, I'm all for the registry. I'm all for the policy that Mr. Trudeau has announced, but it is not his to decide, because we have a parliament, we had a debate, there's a new law that's been, and then all the lobbyists from both sides just learned today that they've been lobbying the wrong parliament. They should have done this in Ottawa instead of Quebec with this new law. So you might agree or disagree with the policy, but the policy is made in Quebec, and the law about rents is a Quebec law or a provincial law, not a federal law. So, and the Minister of Housing in Quebec just heard that the Frappru, one of the most vocal advocates for renters, is going to be funded now by the federal government. And certainly all the owners of rentals have just learned that although they fought against the registry in Quebec, now the Prime Minister of Canada says there should be one or something similar to it. So it's constitutional malfeasance, I would say.
Okay.
At some point, the Prime Minister of Canada should realize that he's in a federation. And although he's deciding on health policy, that we should have a dental plan and a medical insurance plan, it's not focused on defense. You know, like you're supposed to defend the country, and you have when your work is done on defense and inflation, maybe you can tell us what to do in our jurisdictions.
Okay. And then by the same token, I'm trying to, and I'm just hearing this now, but I think we just may have mentioned this. Ottawa has signed, have you heard this, a new $3.7 billion health pact with Quebec?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the less than a billion a year that Quebec has in terms of new health transfer. You remember 2 years ago, all the provinces were together asking for a major expansion of the federal transfer in health.
Right.
For Quebec, it would have amounted to $6 billion a year. They only got less than a billion. And the Quebec was the last one to sign because the federal government, all-knowing, wanted to attach conditions to these grants. And the other provinces said, fine, we're going to sign anywhere. But Quebec, they wouldn't sign on the dotted line. They wanted to make sure that they kept their sovereignty in the health service. And in the end, they came to an agreement that the federal government will say there are conditions of giving information about the quality of health. And Quebec is saying, well, this is information that was public in any case. So we'll both say we won.
So I want to ask you about something. This came up with a couple of callers today and in the past as well. You ever heard this conspiracy theory that the CAQ, because we know how poorly they're doing in the polls, and it's been a succession, right, of polls that they've done poorly in, one after the other, mm-hmm. that the ultimate plan, Jean-Francois, for François Legault, is to do so poorly and to have people think so lowly of him and the job he's done in the CAQ, that they will vote for the PQ, who we know, of course, are getting more popularity, and that's actually François Legault's plan to get people to vote for the PQ and not the CAQ. Want to address that?
Well, sure. There was a very popular book in France a while back that says if you want to understand politics, you have to know that politicians love to be in opposition but hate to be in power. So everything they do is to make sure that they stay in opposition. And when you have this grid, you come to understand a number of political decisions that could not have been made except for going back to opposition. So that would be the application of this theory for Quebec and for the CAQ. But the problem here is that the projections show that if the elections were held this week, not only would François Legault be in the opposition, but he may have only one remaining seat, because the projection says 11. 11 is the mid projection. The high projection is 27 seats out of 125, and the low projection is one. So that's overdoing it, I would say.
Can you imagine how, if that came to pass, how bizarre that would seem? Mm-hmm. Wow. There is one other theory. We discussed this too. I may have asked you this in the past, the idea that François Legault, being on that sinking ship now, is basically done. Do you think he is? First of all, does he finish this term? Does he run again in 26 or not?
Well, no, I'm not sure he's going to run again, because at some point, self-preservation makes you want to have your wiki page say that you were premier for almost two-thirds, and then your successor crashed the party. That's better than you crashed your own party. So in the end, I think he should leave. If these numbers hold, he should leave about 6 months before, and we'll say, well, it's Geneviève Guilbeault that couldn't bring the CAQ to a third term.
Okay.
That's my optimal scenario for now.
Okay. We're still a long ways away. I feel it's necessary to point that out every time we talk about polls. We're only 2024. We're still over, 2 years away from an election. Last thing I want to bring up, this has to do with what we talked about, I guess, earlier in the week, this idea of French descriptors now being part of Bill 96. So I was asking our listeners about this, right? And out of nowhere, I had a woman call up. You have the audio, Brian? I had a woman call up and who said this.
I was at the passport office today, and I had to make an accent aigu on Montreal. They wouldn't allow me to have it in English.
Yes, I had three passports to renew, filled out the English passport form, and she corrected all my forms and added all in the accents where they were supposed to be. I had to initial every line.
They wouldn't take my form unless I put an accent on the Montreal.
Have you ever heard this before?
That was the first time I heard that. It's interesting, because there was a push about a couple of decades ago that the UQAM didn't have the accent on the A, and that Québécois, of all groups, didn't have an accent on the first A of Québécois, and they reintroduced them. But I didn't know that you needed, on an English version form, to put an accent on Montreal. But listen, that's the flavor of Montreal, so let's get on with the show.
Mais mon Dieu, if you're putting out, you're at a Service Canada office, for God's sake, and you're just writing Montreal in, and someone is going to say, no, je peux pas, unless you put an... I mean, that's crazy.
I accept that you find this crazy.
Okay, and we'll leave it at that. I imagine we'll get more calls and texts on this. This could turn into a big story, Jean-François. Who knows?
I hope so.
Who knows? Jean-François Lisée.
Well, you know what the story, I'd like to see it. Are there cases where Francophones are trying to type Montréal with an accent and it's refused? Because we do this all the time in forms that, I'm not saying governmental forms, but other forms. Well, like Lisée, for instance.
Yeah.
I cannot put my accent on a lot of things, like credit cards and others. But should I be more incensed about that?
No, you shouldn't. But why wouldn't you be able to? You can use a keyboard where you're allowed to put any accent aigu. You mean they won't accept it if there's an accent on it?
They won't accept it. They'll say I used an incorrect character.
Okay. You know, it's not personal. That's just
kind of
how the
about
system
works.
Jean-François Lisée, merci. We'll talk to you next week.